Live from the Virtual Tone Studios in Houston, Texas, it's Tough Talk with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
Okay, welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and it is Tough Talk with Tony Gambone, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, Houston, Texas. Well, I don't know about where you're at in the country or in the world, but the weather here is about, well, it's about 72. It's not too humid yet, but it's going to get hot later today, and hot means that 85 degrees feels like probably 95 degrees because of the humidity that we keep with us here in Houston. But I'll tell you, I'll take that weather any day over the cold. Okay, we've got a great show lined up today, as always. You know, Tough Talk with Tony Gambone has been airing for, I think we're going on 5 years now, and I've been blessed to have guests come on from around the world to build relationships with, to do business with, to do introductions with. Well, I just can't tell you how blessed I am. So I want to talk about a couple things today before we get into our topics, which is, guidance, control, and inspiration over life. That's deep, right? But, you know, every week I talk about that one word. 20 years in the casino industry, the one word that I speak of all the time, all my programs, they work off of one word: gamble. And we know what it stands for, right? My regular listeners know: growth, accountability, marketing, belief, leverage, and enjoyment. Well, that covers a wide range of people, from children to seniors. And, you know, the every year I get closer to that senior mark, right, at least what I'm able to use my discount card for. So it's real important that people out there understand every word in that word: growth, accountability, marketing, belief, leverage, enjoyment. Every one of those words points back to us. So don't think that you can go through life pointing the finger at what didn't happen or why it didn't happen. It's all, everything takes place within you. So it starts with you, right? You have to be able to grow inside. You have to be accountable. You have to market yourself. You have to have the ability to change your beliefs. You got to know how to leverage things, and you got to have enjoyment. Goodness, is that important. But my word this week, okay, and we had a show yesterday. And everybody knows I do a show on Wednesday and Thursday. We got a lot of emails about this. The word is marketing. Now, I know, I'm an author. I'm a radio host. I'm a speaker. I run networking groups. I know all the time we're always out there trying to market our businesses. A new pamphlet, a new flyer, a new business card, a new banner, a new website. You know, don't get brand and marketing confused, okay? It's important to brand yourself. It's important to market your stuff. But marketing for me starts with you. I'm going to give you an example. I spoke up in Austin this beginning of this week, and I had the pleasure of speaking to a great group of people. It's a networking group, and it's actually for speakers and authors. That's the main attraction to the group. So when I got there, I did, how you doing, all that. You know, I get there early just like I always do. But here's what happened. Before I spoke, they allowed everybody 30 seconds to stand up and tell about their business. So one person stood up and said that they were just starting a business and, they were new at this, and they didn't have a business card to pass around. So I'm thinking, okay, so you show up at a group of people that are speakers and authors. Now, I mean, that's a step up just in the startup business or just the average business owner, right? These people have invested more time and money, and now they're in the $20,000-$30,000 bracket, and so they're investing. You don't have a business card. You're not marketing yourself very properly. Okay, and so sometimes I think, okay, well, so that's someone I need to sit down and explain that to help them, because it's all about helping each other, right? After the event was over, we started networking again, and a person came up to me, within 3 minutes, gave me three different business cards, well, same card, but three business cards through a conversation of 3 minutes, plus a piece of paper with their website written on, because it wasn't the same as the business card, and they explained to me how much I needed their product, which I don't even still to this day know what the product was, because my ears flapped over. I mean, do you think that one card's enough? Okay, two cards is pushing it, three's over the top, and then a piece of paper with the website? And then how about assuming that I even care, or not care, that's not the right word. How about assuming that I even need your product? Wouldn't you want to know if I was interested in that product, a little bit about me so you could see what that product would do for me? All they did was sell. And it's a common thing out there every day that happens. You don't have to be in a business networking group for that to take place. But just remember, for me, marketing means every time you open your lips, what comes out markets who you are and what you represent. So it's real important when you look at marketing your business, yourself. It doesn't matter if you're a business owner, a parent, a church member, or the neighbor. Maybe you work in corporate at the top or the bottom. Everything that you do, everything that you say, people assume or they take that as who you are. So you are marketing yourself everywhere you go, whether you're pushing the cart through the grocery store, yelling at your children, whatever it is that you do when you move your mouth, you are marketing who you are. So my challenge this week is for you, the listener, as always, write down Gamble long ways on the page. Skip a line and write G, skip a line. A, skip a line. You know how that works, right? And then write growth, accountability, marketing, belief, leverage, and enjoyment. And underneath the one that says marketing, I want you on that space, that line that's available. Ask yourself, what's coming out of your mouth? How are you being recognized? And you take that challenge for a week. And I'd like to know what the results are. Because if you watch how that works, you're going to see an increase in something. Okay? I'm not guaranteeing you what the something is, because it depends what it is that you do. But you will see an increase in something. So, you can call that into 347-989-1363 and give us your answer today or next week. We'd love people to call in and give us their opinion, their complaints, and their suggestions. Because without you, we can't get any better. And if you're not honest with us, we can't grow in an honest way. You can email me at info@toughtalkradionetwork.com. You can go to toughtalkradionetwork.com and see the list of shows played weekly here on the network and find the shows from corporate to holistic and all the business in between. So, what I'd like you to do is check it out. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us everywhere. It's Google us. You can find us on Facebook under Tough Talk Radio Network, or just go to Tony Gambone. Type in anything, Tony Gambone, Tough Talk Radio Network, into Google, and we'll show up. We'd love to have you as a guest. We'd love for you to be a caller on the show. Ask your questions. Send in the email. We'd love for you to meet our guests. Today's guest, my first guest today, is a gentleman by the name of Lawrence, I believe it goes by Larry, but Aggresso. And we're going to bring him up here shortly. He's got a great book. You can go to his website while we're on commercial break, singledadswithheart.com. Let me say it again, singledadswithheart.com. Check it out. Make sure you understand what I say every show. If you don't take advantage of the free opportunity to look at someone's website, you're cutting yourself short already. You are stunting your growth. And remember, the first word out of Gamble is growth. So be smart. Take a look at it. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to bring Larry up. And remember, the website is singledadswithheart.com, okay? So we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Join Dr. Alan Simberg and his guests every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Life-Changing Insights. Life-Changing Insights is a show dedicated to providing its listeners with self-improvement information that has a positive effect on an individual's mental, physical, and spiritual being, as well as unresolved relationship issues. For more information or to be a guest on Life-Changing Insights, go to Life-Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg.com. Life-Changing Insights, every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
Join Judy Hoberman on her radio show, Selling in a Skirt, Mondays at noon Central, for exciting discussions about challenges for women in today's society. The talk is about women in business, work and life balance, leadership, and current events related to gender communication. Be prepared to be inspired, motivated, and challenged. Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on the Tough Talk Radio Network is your connection to women nationally, internationally, and globally. So get comfy and see what the buzz is all about. Listen live on Mondays at noon by going to SellingInASkirtWithJudyHoberman.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio media, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone, and it's the 24th of April already, folks. Time just keeps on going quickly. Make sure that if you missed the beginning of the show that you know you can go back, download shows on iTunes. You can go to toughtalkradionetwork.com and find the shows as well. We're always looking for guests, so if you're out there looking to do that, toughtalkwithtonygambone.com. Click on the Register to be a Guest tab, fill out the form, and we'll get to you as quickly as we can. My first guest is a gentleman by the name of Larry Agresto, and I hope I'm saying your name right, Larry. Larry became a single father literally overnight. His wife, Jody, mother of his two daughters, Lauren, age 11, and Julia, age 7, was rushed to the hospital on a Thursday night and pronounced dead on a Saturday morning. She had not been ill, so this turn of events was both a shock and a tragedy for Larry and his daughters. Although he wasn't aware of it at this time, Jody was, and her last spoken words to him were, "Take care, good care of my girls." Larry made the promise, and as a result, he committed himself to being the best single father he could be, and he made raising his girls a priority in his life. Now, I'm going to stop there so Larry can tell us the rest of us, but there's a lot of people out there that have been in this type of situation and went on tilt, didn't know what to do. And so I'm really interested in finding out a lot of things about how Larry traveled down that trail. Larry, welcome to the show.
Tony, thank you. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Larry, pronounce your last name for me. Did I get it right?
Yes, you did. Larry Agresto. That's correct. Yep.
All right, Larry, so what we do here is we find out a little bit about Larry before we go on and find out about the journey. So where are you calling in from and where are you from originally?
I'm originally from a town called Portchester, New York, which is north of the Bronx in Westchester County. I attended college up here in the Boston area, Bentley College, and basically spent my adult life in Groton, Massachusetts. That's where Jody and I lived, and we raised our girls and bought our first home. And I just recently sold my second home as a result of getting remarried and doing the Brady Bunch thing, which didn't work out, and that's another whole different story. And I am now in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, which is an hour up the coast from Boston.
So it's safe to say you're a Northeast guy.
I'm a Northeast guy. I mean, I've been around the country, but I'm a Northeast guy, absolutely.
Well, that's where my heart is. That's where the best food in the whole world is, but, you know, I'm just selfish. Anyway, Larry, a tragic story, and as I read more about you, I find that every day people around the world are struggling with all different types of things, but you know, there's a lot of things that we think are big problems and are just so small when you hear other people's situations. A situation like what happened to you is something that you might have read about or watched in a movie. the day that took place, I mean, how do you move forward? How do you get off of frozen or stuck?
You know, Tony, that's a damn good question, because when something like that happens to you, it's the closest thing you'll ever experience to really having a bad dream. You just can't comprehend that it's real, and so it's hard to embrace, and that's just I think the body, you go into a state of shock, and you're still able to function, but your body somehow puts up these protective barriers, and you know, I was raised a Catholic. I went to Catholic school. I was in the choir. I was an altar boy. But I think as time moved on, I became more spiritual and less religious. So I think that had a lot to do with it. The fact that I have a spiritual sense to me. I also think that because I lost my dad to terminal cancer and my kid brother to another form of cancer, I had unfortunately already been exposed to, you know, death and tragedy. And I think even though losing Jody and becoming a single dad overnight and having the responsibility for raising my two girls is very unique, I think the experience that I had as a child losing my dad and as a young adult losing my brother, I think they kind of, you know, prepared me unknowingly for, you know, for what I was faced with. And that's the best answer I can give you.
Well, you know, I myself was raised Catholic, and didn't really understand a lot of things about Christ as I do now. At the young age of 58, I'm still learning a lot more than I ever thought I could learn in my whole life. But one of the things I found out through my own experience is that we're right where we're supposed to be. Every minute we're somewhere, and God has a bigger plan for us. And it's obvious now that you're able to look back down the path to see what your plan was with him. It was to go out and help others through this tragedy. And this isn't the only type of tragedy that takes place. I mean, there's some cases where people are abused. I mean, just a wide range of stuff. And I would think that you cover coaching people through all those different things. I mean, I don't know if your heart could be more broken or more, you know, at a spot that you can't understand from anything that takes place like that. Because I believe that, you know, once you stick your head in the oven, anything over 90 is still hot. So a situation is a situation no matter how it happens. It's still spelled situation same way, and it still has a hard road to climb down to get there. So is that what you help people mostly with, is getting through the process or understanding the value of their children?
I would say both. I would say both, because I think the two, at least when you have the kind of tragedy that I experienced, I think the two are interrelated. And I know for me, the more I did for my girls, the more I was there for them, the more I connected with them, the more I tried to help them and understand them. At the same time, I was helping myself. I think it's part of the healing process. You know, the more you do for others, the more you do for yourself. And, you know, again, when I made that statement to Jody, when she said to me, take good care of my girls, and I said, I will, I thought she was referring to, you know, the next couple of days or the next week while she was in the hospital and they were, you know, taking care of her. And I thought we were going to have her back home. I had no idea that was the last time I was going to speak with her. So for me, when I made that commitment to her to take good care of my girls, as she asked, I lived by that agreement. I just made that the priority in my life, and I think that had a lot to do with I just got so focused on that, and I just that's what drove me and inspired me day to day.
Well, I'm a big believer that at the end of the day, if you can bed your family down safe, you've accomplished your responsibility, because you can't do more than that. I mean, it's just impossible. We try to, but there's just no control over it, and it'll make you crazy. Now, I'm on your website, and I just want to make sure everybody knows singledadswithheart.com is where to go. And I'm looking at your story, and, you know, I see a picture of your wife when you met her, and I see a picture of your two girls, and then I see a picture of you and your two girls. And one of your girls from the photo looks just like your wife, and one resembles you. And
right.
So I find that interesting. As time, as they're growing up, I'm sure that you've seen things that remind you so much of your wife, and the different things that they do or you've done or you've experienced. Looking at them now, okay, what are they doing? I'm imagining that they're 19, somewhere in that area.
No, they're older than that. Jody died in 95, so Lauren just turned 30, and Julia just turned 26.
Yeah, I did my math up by 10 years. Sorry.
That's right. You just need to have another cup of coffee.
Yeah, that's true. Are they married?
My oldest daughter, Lauren, is married. Lauren went to UConn. She studied biophysics there. She works in the biotech sector. She met her husband, John, there at UConn as a sophomore, and they got married a few years after they graduated. So Lauren's married. She's down in Connecticut. Julia attended the University of New Hampshire, UNH. She has a degree in English journalism and marketing. She's basically a writer. And she is not married.
That's interesting, because your wife had a bachelor's in biology and a another degree in journalism and English.
Yes.
So they both kind of went in that field, huh?
Lauren was they were both very musical, actually. Lauren played piano. Julia was a singer. But Lauren got into science, and Julia was always a writer. As a matter of fact, when Jody died, she actually wrote an epilogue at the tender age of seven, and read it at the service, which just blew me and everyone else there away, because I wasn't aware of the fact that she had done that. But yeah, so that's the direction that their life has gone in, and they're both doing very well, thank you.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. But listening to this, I'm proud for you as you are their parent. I mean, with the job you did and how they turned out, I mean, that's amazing, dude. I mean, you really. You know, I always say, shovel dirt on me now, I'm ready to go. I've succeeded, but goodness, that's awesome what you've done. And your children turned out so great, beautiful girls, and it sounds like you have a good relationship with them, and they have everything they could have had if they would have had six parents. So great job.
Well, Tony, I appreciate that. My friends say the same thing, and I can't take all the credit. My girls, if you had to be a single dad, my girls made my job easy. They were, and the reason why I say that, they were good students. They played sports. They got involved with the right group of kids. I also had a lot of support from neighbors, friends, the community. It was, if you had to have a tragedy like that happen, I was blessed to be living where I was, the town, the street, and to have the friends and the moral and emotional support that I had was just unbelievable. And, you know, life can be so strange, and I learned that even though you can have a tragedy as dark as this one was in the moment, that over time I was able to see the upside of it. And that being the fact that even though I wasn't involved, Dad, when Jody was still living, I would help my girls with their homework and read to them at night and tuck them in if I wasn't on the road traveling. As a result of the tragedy and losing Jody, I developed a relationship with my girls that never would have happened if I didn't become a single dad. So, you know, I think by the grace of God, because I became a single dad, I was able to identify and be aware of the opportunity that I had as a result of the tragedy and make the most of it. And I that's what I think I did, and that's what I think is, you know, the greatest outcome of the whole tragedy, if you will.
Okay, so let's talk about you have, you know, you mentioned in your on your website, and it says our story, and people, if you're out there and you're thinking, you know, well, you know, what a great story, you need to go to singledadswithheart.com and read the story, because there's a lot of relatable stuff there no matter what part of your life you're in. And knowing about A Father's New Beginning is your book, and we're going to talk about that in a second, but you were in corporate. You had a job. You had to maintain. You went from helping your spouse with your children to actually being the mom, dad, / guidance counselor, maid, everything, all in one. And look, I'm a guy, so that's not real easily done. So when you got through that, and now you're able to focus more on what you wanted to do from the very, very beginning, okay, what made you decide, okay, now it's time, I can quit doing my 9-to-5 and really focus on Single Dads with Heart and just start moving forward? Because I believe you're 60 now, and
yes, right.
A lot of people our age have trouble moving forward after they did their time. And for you, this is like a rebirth of a whole new gig. And so how are you motivated to get moving on that? And what are some of the hurdles that you encountered, and how did you get through them?
Good question. I would say that I got remarried after almost 10 years of being a single dad. I met a wonderful woman in my town, met her as a result of coaching basketball in my town, and I drafted her daughter as my point guard, and one thing led to another. And as time went on, we did the Brady Bunch thing, and we actually, at one point, we had 5 teenagers under one roof, and I don't recommend that to anyone. But as I started to see that the Brady Bunch thing wasn't working, okay, I did some soul searching, and I said, Larry, you know, who are you? And I just started to go inside myself. And what I came away with is that when I look at myself, I see myself as a single dad. That's what identifies me. It's who I am. And it just took me back to starting Single Dads with Heart, which I actually started not too long after Jody died, as a support group in my town. And I reached out to fathers who had similar tragedies for different reasons, and it just never took off for a variety of reasons. And so when the recession hit, my company got acquired, and I got reorged out of my job, and I just said, well, you know, if you're going to do this, Larry, do it. Otherwise, you're going to look back and say, what if? And so I just sat down one day, and I just started to work on developing the website and I just started writing the book, and I was working part-time jobs, but I had the free time, and it's just something that I was committed to, and I just thought, gee, you know, I've got a message here, and I think if I share the message that it could make a difference. And so that's really what inspired me to develop the website, write the book, and be where I am today with you and talking with you about everything.
Well, I'm glad you did, for one, because I really believe that everyone out there doing great things should be showing other people the value of it by leading with example. And you doing this, you explaining your situation in a book, allows people around the world to have the opportunity to better themselves. And maybe, you know, there's no book written that tells us how to raise children and even to raise ourselves, because it's just because we're grown-ups doesn't mean that there's no growth learning process afterwards. So it's a challenge, and sometimes a book to reference to is something that is all people need. So I really thank you for that. I got to take a commercial break, Larry. And, you know, I'd like to, if you don't mind, keep you on the show a little bit longer. I have a couple more questions, and we've got a Facebook question. I just want to ask you if you have a little bit of time to hang on there with us, and we'll take a commercial break and come back.
Absolutely. Be glad to.
All right. Good deal. We'll be right back after this here short commercial break.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Stism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Stism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Would you like to be more up-to-date with the real estate market? Do you have some nagging questions you want answered by experts who don't have anything to gain or lose by telling you a straight answer? Tune in to Fast Talk with Vicki Wachtel and get the latest on this fast-paced market. Start your Mondays off well-informed by listening to Vicki's Tell It Like It Is brand of wisdom. Listen live Mondays, 8:30 a.m. on the Tough Talk Radio Network by going to fasttalkwithvickiwachtel.com. Miss the show but want to go back and listen? That's okay. Just visit fasttalkwithvickiwachtel.com to catch up on past episodes. Fast Talk Mondays, 8:30 a.m. Central.
Okay, welcome back to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone, and I'm here today with my guest, Larry Agresso, and he's from the northeast part of the country up in the Boston area, and an incredible story. If you're just tuning in now, you can always go back and download off of iTunes or the website, toughtalkradionetwork.com, to catch up to the story. His website is singledadswithheart.com. And look, dads get a bad rap a lot of times for a lot of good reasons as well as bad, okay? But the fact of the matter is there's a lot of dads out there that are doing incredible things with their children by themselves, just like there's a lot of incredible women out there doing the same. Now, Larry, one of the questions that I have off of Facebook is from a guy named Lee in Chicago who asked, if you partner up with women who do things with as a single parent as well, like, have you thought about doing anything like that?
Well, you know, the reason why my radio show is Parenting Talk Radio versus, you know, father or fatherhood. So, you know, what I write about in the book, you know, the basic concepts, if you will, and apply to being a single mother as well. I mean, there are some common denominators, there are some differences, but I've not, you know, connected with any specific women in regards to doing something like that. I haven't had the opportunity to do that, but I try and communicate or speak to the fact that, you know, I always say fathers, single dads, and single parents. And when I say single parents, I'm trying to include single mothers. So the answer to the question, though, is basically no. I've not really done that one-on-one or specific to a group, if you will.
Well, it's good to know that there's other opportunities out there that people can connect with you, because there's a wide range of trouble in our country with mothers, fathers, single, together. I mean, it's just a whole, there's a whole ball of mess there. And I think the more people to try to sort it out, the better it would be. Larry, we got a few minutes here, and what I want to do is talk about your radio show. You said that you sat down, you mapped out what you were going to do, you wrote a book, you built the website. Okay, and I mentioned that you're 60 years old, and the reason why I keep doing that is because I want people to know that at any young age, you are able to keep on moving forward, doing things that are really close to you. Now, I mean, technology for guys like us wasn't the top of our list. It wasn't something they taught in school. It wasn't something we had in our hands. We were pretty much the remote for our parents' television. Okay, you got up and you hit one of three channels. But in today's market, everything moves quicker, faster, and you're able to reach wider. And you decided to sit down and take advantage of that. And I wish that a lot of people, the boomers out there, would not be intimidated and just give it a try. But you then pushed the envelope a little bit further and went to doing a radio show. Let's talk about how that got started, where people can hear it, and what kind of guests come on your show.
Yeah, sure. It came out of the blue. My daughter, Julia, who's in journalism, she kind of has a network in the New England area of, you know, journalists and writers. And to make a long story short, someone that she knows this gentleman who has his own show called Nashua This Morning, and he was interested in interviewing me just as you are. And because it's local, I went in as a live guest, and we did the show, and he was so impressed with, you know, the book and the whole story that he said to me, you know, he said, there's not a lot of shows out there that speak to, you know, dads and single dads. And he said, have you ever thought about doing the radio show? And I said, no. And one thing led to another. And I think like 6 weeks later, I did my first show. You know, the first couple of shows I was kind of scared. It was, my background's in sales, so I can speak, but doing something like that was very new for me, and it was a little bit of a challenge, if you will. But I've grown into it, and just did the 12th show this week, and really enjoy it. And the guests that I've had on the show have been a variety of people. Some of them have, for instance, one of the guests that I had on the show is a gentleman from Philadelphia. He's a sports agent attorney. And he got divorced about 10 years ago, and had him on talking about how he's maintained a role as a single dad or a divorced dad and stayed involved in his kids' lives, because something like 40% of fathers, when they get divorced, they see their kids once a year. That's all. And he sees his kids almost weekly. So he was on the show. I had another gentleman on the show who actually, this was a very, very interesting guest, and he actually got married and then divorced and then remarried, and he actually navigated the Northwest Passage, took out of Newport, Rhode Island, and went around the Northwest Passage and docked in Seattle, and a lot of people don't make that kind of a voyage. You die in the process. But he did it with his children, because he had been kind of removed from them for a period of time, and he wanted to reconnect. And he's an avid sailor and boater, and they were also avid sailors and boaters. So they went on this journey and adventure together, and it sounds like a crazy story, but it's a very, very inspirational book, and he was an inspirational guest to have on. And I had another woman on the show, January Jones, who actually has her own radio show as well, and she lost her husband when she was 25 years old. He was a naval pilot, and he went out one day to do his job and crashed in the ocean and never came home. So guests like that are the kind of guests that I've had on the show. I talk about different topics out of the book, like the first chapter of the book is about courage and vulnerability and the importance of dads not only demonstrating courage, but also being willing to demonstrate being vulnerable, because a lot of men, as you and I know, Tony, have an issue with vulnerability. They think it's a form of weakness, and it's not. I learned firsthand that demonstrating vulnerability to your kids is actually a form of strength. And one of the things I talk about on my show often is, you know, dads need to learn to become what I refer to as emotional mentors, and really step up for your kids in the world of, you know, sharing your emotional attributes and teaching kids about self-esteem and self-confidence and learning to like themselves and just all those things so you can prepare your kids with a roadmap to go out and navigate through life with.
Well, Larry, tell you how much of a pleasure it is to have you on my show. I know January Jones. I know she's been on a lot of our shows, and I really look forward to connecting with you off the air, having you back on. And one last question, because we got to bring our other guest up, is there another book coming out, and when?
I've written a second book already. It's not about parenting. It's called Higher Ground. It's about learning from our mistakes. But I do have a third book between my ears, and the title of that's going to be the Best. Something I used to always share with my girls when they went out the door to start their day or they had a sporting event. I would always say to them, be the best. And what I'm hoping to do with that book is take the principles of some of the best coaches in the world of basketball, like Gina Auriemma from UConn or Barbara Stevens from Bentley College, Pat Summitt from Tennessee, now retired, and kind of write about parenting your kids the way the great coaches coach their players.
I like that. Well, Larry, we're out of time. I want to say thank you again, and I want to make sure that everybody knows that they can go to singledadswithheart.com. And how can they contact you personally, Larry? Is it through the website, or is there an email they can get you at?
They can also get me on my email, which is basically my name, Larry. Agresto@gmail.com.
And Agresto is spelled A-G-R-E-S-T-O. So it's like A-rest, just like it sounds. Larry, thanks again for being on the show, and we'll be in touch with you to get you on some more shows and to talk to you off the air as well. So thank you very much.
Tony, thank you for the invitation. I enjoyed it. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
Okay. Folks, we're going to take a real short break. We're going to come back on my second guest, June Stoetzel. I think I said her name right. And we'll be right back here in 1 second. So just stay tuned.
Would you like to be more up to date with the real estate market? Do you have some nagging questions you want answered by experts who don't have anything to gain or lose by telling you a straight answer? Tune in to Fast Talk with Vicki Wachtel and get the latest on this fast-paced market. Start your Mondays off well-informed by listening to Vicki's Tell It Like It Is brand of wisdom. Listen live Mondays, 8:30 a.m. on the Tough Talk Radio Network by going to fasttalkwithvickiwachtel.com. Miss the show but want to go back and listen? That's okay. Just visit FastTalkWithVickyWachtel.com to catch up on past episodes. Fast Talk Mondays, 8:30 a.m. Central.
They say everybody has a story. A special few have the gift of bringing stories to life. When you absolutely can't get your book from your head to the written page, you need the special services of a ghostwriter. You will be amazed at what happens when you leave the telling of your story to a writer with the ability to reach inside and capture joy and laughter and pain and transform it all into your words, your raw emotions, just waiting to explode into reality. When waiting to tell your story is no longer an option, trust a ghostwriter that can deliver on a promise. Shirley Carney is that writer you can trust. Contact Shirley at ShirleyWintersCarney@yahoo.com or give her a call at 832-492-4088.
Okay, welcome back. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone and incredible interview with Larry Aggresso. And make sure to check him out, okay? SingleDadsWithHeart.com. And if you're someone that doesn't need that type of help, I'm sure you know somebody that does, so make sure to do the introduction. My second guest today is June Stotzel, and she's a licensed MFT with a certification from UC Medical Center San Francisco in sex therapy. She's written a book, Here We Go Again. It's the second edition on the effects of unresolved issues and the coping skills needed to both understand and make sense of symptoms as well as achieving the skills to make choices that are in the best interest. Well, that's a mouthful, folks. And I got to tell you, we struggle in all those areas. So that's June, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
June, I just want to find out a couple quick questions and we're going to jump into the heart of this. Where are you calling in from?
San Diego,
okay. Best weather in the world. And is that where you're from originally?
No, I was born in New York and then grew up in Wisconsin and then lived in Marin County near San Francisco for 30 years.
So you've kind of encountered a lot of different types of people and cultures and,
oh, yeah,
and areas, to, you know. I can relate to that, and I think that's really important when you are putting something together in a book, when you are you have a degree in psychology.
I'm a psychotherapist.
Psychotherapist. Okay, so when Here We Go Again, second edition, when you see sex therapist, I kind of go, uh-oh, what is that going to be about? And I think that's great because first thing you got to do is get people to turn around and look, right? So that's the hook right there for me. But let's talk about when I hear sex therapy, I'm not sure what I'm what it's going to be about. So give them an example, my listeners, what it is that you do and how you help people.
Well, one of the things about me is I always wanted to be a detective and make sense of things and understand the underlying things. So when I did sex therapy, and it's been over 30 years, what I found is that problems would come up, especially in relationships, because relationships end up being extended family if they're really serious. And all the family issues come up, like fear of rejection, abandonment, loss, anger, control, intimacy. All of these things come up, and they're disguised as sexual problems. So when I saw people in clinics, once the organic stuff was ruled out, you know, like there was no medical reason for the dysfunction, it came up as issues from childhood. And the most interesting thing I found is that feelings never grow up. Freud called it primary process. Logic grows up, feelings don't. So old feelings become issues. And consistently that's what I found. And once we dealt with the issues, the problems would really abate or go away or change.
So then I always hear that at the age of 7 is when our brain is filled up with what it's going to do, and then everything after that age is a circumstance that we've been involved in of some type, and at the core filter or a reaction to what we think we discovered along the way. So is that kind of what you're talking about?
No, it starts earlier. It starts when you're in the crib. The first issue we all have is trust. If we cry, are we going to be taken care of? Are we going to be nurtured? And that's our first issue, is trust. And if that isn't there, you get a lot of very mentally ill people. And then the next issue during toilet training is controlling yourself. So our control issues come up there and so on. A follower of Freud, Erik Erikson, did a whole thing on called the 8 Stages of Man, which showed those issues, the psychosocial issues connected to each age. So it starts in the crib. It doesn't start at 7.
So,
people used to think that, but...
Well, I find that interesting because I've been on this kick this year that I was going to improve Tony before I tried to improve anything else. And, boy, is that a struggle. But just the fact that I've taken that path was the biggest step. And when I started going to these workshops and I started listening, I was like, I kind of related to what you said. I'm always looking for, you know, the detective eye, like where's the smoke and mirror? Where are they coming from? How's this going to, you know, they're up to something. And I couldn't figure out anything other than the fact of, I had the issues. It wasn't anything that they were trying to trick me with. And somehow they were able to place their finger on something that allowed me to understand why. Okay, so most business owners don't charge enough for their business services. Why do you think that is? It's not because they want to be the cheapest person. It's probably because they don't find the value in themselves as to start with. And that happened from way back when, as you're saying, right?
Yeah, but some people would charge less because they're more loving and giving and wanting to share. You know, there's different reasons.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, June, you know, loving and caring is really good, but try to pay the electric bill. You know what I mean? I
have to say I totally understand what you're saying, but when I was a therapist in San Francisco, I saw a man that had cancer and no money, and I charged him $1 a visit rather than over 100. And I loved it. I loved being able to do that. So,
right, and
you know, it's like,
there's not even an explanation that could explain the thanks in your heart for doing something like that. But
it's a blessing to yourself to be wonderful to other people. You know what I mean? It's feel good.
Well, you know, they wrote it a long time ago in this little black book that they took out of the nightstands at the hotels now. It says you reap what you sow. And I find that really interesting because in my last 4 years, I've been on that trail where, you know, I put others first and I try to help others. And, you know, I struggle with not charging enough or not charging enough times. But the fact of the matter is, as I look back down the path, I can't explain the blessings that come across to me other than the fact that you do reap what you sow. And so I think it's really important to do good things.
You're the kind of person that looks at yourself and does think about yourself and what you've done and how you affect other people. So it's very important to feel good with yourself.
Yeah, and trust me, I'm a work in progress because I struggle just like everybody else. It's part of being human. But the thing of it is it's really important to set out your day to try to help someone, you know, and sometimes that comes at a cost of free. But understanding, getting back to the question, understanding what makes you tick the way you tick isn't a 2-hour course. It's a life-going process, right?
It is, and it's initially very frightening to look at yourself, and then once you do and you can reduce it to something that makes sense, which are 7 basic issues, you then get some control, like, am I overreacting? Oh, yeah, this is my old invalidation issue. What are my choices? What's the best response? How am I going to affect the other person? And it's amazing on how often I can get really upset, and then I go, okay, are you overreacting? And I go, yes. And I don't have to pay myself for my own therapy, so that's an advantage.
Well, okay, so, you know, I talked about having a life coach, and any type of coach that you bring on, a mentor or whatever, there's always a personal side and a business side. And I'm a big believer, until your personal side's right, there is no business going on that's proper. So it's really important that people reach out to someone and find a way to better themselves. Because I speak off of a word, gamble, and one of those words, one of the letters, B, for beliefs. We are just so stuck on stupid sometimes with our beliefs that we just don't understand how we are damaging ourselves. So how do you get people to, I guess if they're coming to you, they're willing to learn. But sometimes I'm sure you run across people and you just want to hold them down and make sure that they hear what you're saying because they're just way out in left field. How do you get people to change their beliefs, or can you?
Well, I'll tell you something. That's a really interesting and good question. You have to pay people in their, what I call their emotional currency. If you're dealing with someone who's a minority or who's been raped or who's been abused, you have to understand what that's like. You can't dismiss it. And the therapist is a facilitator. The person does the healing. I'm not a healer. I can't heal anybody, but I can facilitate everything I know to give to that person so that person can look at themselves and make choices.
So you kind of create the blueprint or the map for where they are right now to where they need to get to, and it's up to them to take the steps to make the changes.
Yeah, but see, everything works really well if you see yourself as a facilitator. For example, if I saw you for some problem and I gave you a homework assignment, like write a letter to yourself regarding this issue, and you don't do the homework, then I can focus on why you didn't do the homework instead of being angry that you didn't follow my directions. And that gives us information. You know what I mean? So you work with it in the most loving, kind way you can. And a friend of mine from India once said, because I used to cry, I used to drive home crying, oh, what if they do this? What if they do that? And he said, you need to detach. And I said, detach? That's so horrible. And he said, no, do your best and let go. You're not in control. And ever since he said that, I do my very, very best, and I'm not in control of what anyone else does.
You know, June, on my monitor, and I have a very big monitor, and I have a lot of 3x5 cards posted up there, and through my travels and interviews and different things, I write things down that people say. And I was, I have Crohn's, had it for almost 40 years. Went to see a holistic healer, and one of the things that we sat down, and most of her help for me was conversation, and I think that helps most people. But one of the things that's on my 3x5 card that I struggle with every day, show up, listen, do your best, detach from the outcome. And you just said it right there.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, so I don't know where she got it from, but it's been on my monitor for 4 years. And it doesn't mean that I follow it to the T, but when I do come in my office and I sit down with that struggle, it's there and it reminds me.
There's a word I love so much. It's called resonate. When something is right, it resonates with you. It has meaning. So that sentence that you have has meaning. It resonates. It touches you.
Well, June, unfortunately, we're out of time, and I'm going to make a promise on the air so everyone can hear it. I'm going to have you back on the show for a whole hour because there's a lot of things that are not only helpful to me, but there's a lot of people out there. We have some shows that I think you would be a fit on as life-changing insights and life issues as well. So I'm going to reach out to you today, and we're going to get you set up on a couple other shows as well, okay?
Thank you.
Will you tell everyone how they can get in touch with you?
I'm just getting on LinkedIn and Facebook and other things. I've kind of avoided, but I do have an email, junestozel@att.net.
And Stozel is spelled S-T-E-L-Z-E-L.
No, it's S-T-O-E-L-Z-E-L.
Very good. So
if they look up the book, it's right there. That's the.
And the name of the book?
The name of the book is Here We Go Again, but do the second edition. My daughter, when I first wrote it, she said, Mom, did you go to a sale on commas? It was so bad. I edited it.
I love it. I think I'm going to read the first edition. I can relate to that. Very good.
No, no. Really, I wouldn't recommend it.
That's funny. June, I look forward to getting in touch with you off the air and as well as getting you back on the show. Thank you, and I'm sorry we didn't have enough time to do more, but this is just the beginning of a lot of good things coming forward to Tough Talk Radio Network, so thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, folks, we're out of time. We're over the time period, so what I'm going to do is exit out. Tell everybody to tune in next week because we got another great show lined up, toughtalkradionetwork.com. iTunes, find us everywhere. Be a part of us. Thank you for being with us today. Have a blessed week.
This has been another edition of Tough Talk with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to www.toughtalkradionetwork.com.